Well, we are in a series called Rewired. It is about changing our lives by renewing our minds. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12 and begin with verse 1. Last week we read verse 2, and that is our text really for this entire series. But I want to go back and pick up verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Our reasonable service in response to the great mercy that God has shown to each and every one of us is that we would give ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. It's just the reasonable thing to do. Amen. We've been bought and paid for. We belong to Him. Amen. But when we truly commit our lives to Him, this is what we're doing. We're offering our lives as a living sacrifice. Yes. Amen. Present your bodies. It's a total commitment. It is turning your life over to God. Amen. The next part. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. When he says that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, he's saying that you can show this. It can be revealed in you. You see, when we totally commit our lives to the Lord, and then we're not acting like living like the world anymore, but we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind, then you see the will of God, that good, acceptable, perfect will of God being lived out in your life. But it's one thing to desire to live in all that God has for you, and it's another to actually do it. It's one thing to commit your life to the Lord, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, to turn your life over to God. Listen, no matter how sincere we are, it's one thing to offer our lives to God, but it's another thing to actually live the life that God has for us, to live it out in our life. There's a disconnect between what a lot of people intend to do, what a lot of people really want to do in their heart, and what they end up living. And here's why. They miss this part. Don't be like the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, you need to begin with verse 1. You need to give yourself to God totally and completely. But unless you renew your mind, you're still going to end up living too much of that old life, acting like the world. We got to renew our minds to really live in all that God has for us, to fulfill His plan and purpose. And it's not about sincerity and the lack of good intentions. No, a lot of the time, see, that's what we say sometimes, and we accuse people of that. But the truth is that a lot of the time it just comes down to this, that they didn't renew their mind and they're still living that old life. But God has given us a free will to choose. And here's one of the powerful ways that we use our free will. We can choose the way we think. Now, it's not easy. Sometimes when we have old thought patterns, maybe that we've had for decades, as we talked about last week, there are neural pathways that have been formed in our brain, and some of those pathways have become a highway because we always think a certain way. And it can be really challenging and difficult to change our thought patterns in the way we normally think about things. But here's the thing. God has given us a free will, and we can change the way we think. We can renew our mind with the Word of God. That's how we really see our lives transformed by the renewing of our mind. You ever changed your mind about something? Oh, we do it all the time. Some of you weren't planning on coming today and you changed your mind and came. right? And some people were planning on coming and they changed their mind and stayed home. Well, you know, it was wet and it was kind of cool, so anyway. But we change our mind about things all the time. Some of you, you set out this year, you were going to do this fast, and after a few days, you changed your mind. We change our mind all the time about things. Here's the thing. You can change your mind. You've been thinking one way. You can change your mind. We just have to be intentional about changing our mind in the right way, making those choices. Sometimes we change our mind because we get new information. And it's like, you know, you thought one way, but then you got some more information and you realize, you know what, that wasn't right. I'm going to change my mind. Well, I want to give you this from Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And I'm telling you, the word of God will give you the light. It'll give you the understanding, the information you need to change your mind in the right way. And we know this, the Word of God is not just for our information, it's for our transformation. So we're not talking about just getting more knowledge. See, some people are real religious and they acquire lots of knowledge, but they don't allow it to change them. But we're talking about receiving the Word of God and changing the way we think so that it can transform our lives. But that's what it takes for us to truly be changed, is we got to change the way we think. A lot of the time when we pray, we tend to pray about things around us and things in our world that we want to see changed. And we absolutely should pray for change in our world and change in others. But I find that so often God wants to change us first. And we need to realize this morning that for that to happen in us, a lot of the time, we're going to have to change some of the thought patterns and the old way that we think. Our brains are like biological supercomputers. They say our brains hold more information than all 17 million volumes stored in the Library of Congress. Well, all I got to say to that is that we must have a whole lot of useless junk stored. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but here's the point, though. God has created these fantastic brains, minds, not just to store information, but so that we could have a relationship with Him, so that we could know Him. Scientists say now that our brains have a tremendous plasticity. They didn't used to think so. This is kind of a newer thing, but now they've understood that whether it was a traumatic injury or a traumatic event in somebody's life, that the brain can change. It can be, in a sense, reshaped. It can actually be transformed by the things that have happened in somebody's life and in somebody's thinking. And you just need to understand this. Your brain is not set in stone. You can change the way you think. You can be a different person as the Holy Spirit reveals truth to you and you begin to think right in line with God's word, in line with God's thoughts. Because the Bible says, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now this morning, we're going to focus on being rewired for God. I believe every person in some ways, in several ways, in fact, has been hardwired for a relationship with God. Every person, I'll tell you, they have a need, a desire to believe in something, to worship something. There's in every person, there's this need to love and to be loved. And in every person, they're hardwired for a need for a sense of purpose and fulfillment in their life. And all of those things are found in a relationship with God. Now, people look to all kinds of other things. They look to other people. They look to all kinds of pleasures of this life and success in this, all kinds of other things to try to fulfill those needs. But all of those things are found in a real relationship with God. We have been hardwired for that relationship with Him. Y'all just stay with me. Can you bring me those notes? If I go off the rails here, we'll be here till 12:30. Thank you. Here, you can have these back. Thank you. I just like seeing him run. Tracy runs, he don't run. But that fellowship, that closeness, that's what we were created for. A relationship with God, to really know him and be known by him. But listen, ever since the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, this is what God had in mind as he came into the Garden of Eden to walk and talk with Adam and Eve. That's what God wanted. That fellowship was broken by sin.
Right.
But in the Lord Jesus Christ, that fellowship has been restored. How many of you know 2 Corinthians 5:17? Two, three of you, four, that's better, five, six, I see a few. Now once I start quoting it, a bunch of you raise your hand, all right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. How many of you know that one? Yeah, but you know what? Not hardly anybody knows verse 18, the very next verse. We need to know it. Now all things are of God. All those new things are of God. He says, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. You see, we're a new creation in Christ so that we can have this relationship with God. We've been reconciled. The relationship has been restored. We need to rewire our brains to think this way. I have a relationship with God. This is what my life is really all about. Jesus died on the cross in order to restore the relationship between God and man, to give us eternal life. You know, when you say eternal life, a lot of people don't really understand what that means. They think it's eternal existence. It is not. Everybody is going to exist somewhere. I like the definition that the Lord Jesus Christ gives of eternal life. It's in John 17:3, and he defines it this way. He says, this is eternal life, that they might know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Here's eternal life. You see, it doesn't start when you get to heaven. It starts right now when you know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. That's eternal life. He's the eternal God. If we have a relationship with him, we have eternal life. But this is what we are here for. This is what life is really all about. And yet how far people get away from the Lord sometimes. You know, we are here in this amazing world that he has created. And all around us, you can see the handiwork of God. So many beautiful things. And, you know, sometimes I think when we live in a metropolitan area, we don't see as much of this. But just a week or so ago, Carmen and I were up early in the morning and we saw the sun rise and the sky was this beautiful blue and we saw these pink and orange colors in the clouds. And, you know, God is so creative that I can honestly say in 62 years, I've never seen one just like that. And I said, Carmen, look at this. Isn't that amazing? God is showing off his creativity. But I'm just, that is all through our world, all around our world. You can see the handiwork of God. And now, as we look out into the vastness of the universe, you see the power of God being displayed like never before. And here's what the Bible says in Romans 1:20-21. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So that all men are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You see, here in all of this beautiful creation, yet there are people who deny that God even exists. But the Word says they are without excuse because God has made Himself known through creation. But notice this, he says, they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Futile in their thoughts. The reason that people have a hard time believing in God, the reason that people have a hard time having a real relationship with God is they've become futile in their thoughts. Their thinking is messed up. Satan is constantly working to get people's minds off of God. He's constantly working to keep people from truly believing. He works to keep people from walking in a fellowship, a real relationship with God. He messes with the wiring. That may sound a little strange, but you need to understand that Satan is forever trying to deceive people and keep them from being who God designed them to be. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. Paul says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Notice this, Satan has blinded, not their eyes. Satan has blinded their minds. He's messed with the wiring. He's got them thinking wrong. They can't see who God is because Satan has blinded their minds. Well, that's one reason. You know what? We need to always pray. Always pray before we talk to somebody about the Lord. Satan has blinded their minds. He gets them thinking wrong. He's been doing it ever since the Garden of Eden. The scripture tells us that he deceived Eve. He got her thinking wrong. Wrong thinking puts people in bondage. It keeps people from believing. It keeps people from being close to God. Don't think that because you're a believer that you are immune to Satan's devices. No, we need to be aware of his schemes. The Bible tells us that we are to be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I tell you, the old song is true. I've seen it too many times. Many souls have been his prey to fall in some weak hour. We need to realize this morning that it's important that we keep our minds on God. We keep our minds renewed with the Word of God because we have an enemy of our soul that is always trying to deceive us, always trying to get us thinking wrong. And it's the Word of God that has the truth that brings us back, that sets us free. It is both the cure and the preventative. If you think that maybe you're too spiritual for that, for Satan to ever deceive you, I want you to know that he even tried it with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. One of the temptations of Jesus, Satan takes him up on the pinnacle of the temple. And he uses the scripture to try to deceive Jesus. It's happening that way with a lot of believers today because there is so much false teaching, so much that is not sound doctrine that people are buying into because it sounds good and it's relevant, you know, it's hip and cool with our culture. But I'm telling you, Satan is always trying this with believers, trying to twist the Word of God and deceive them. So he says to Jesus, cast yourself down from here. He says, for it is written, his angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. Quoted from Psalm 91. But Jesus knew that that was tempting the Lord. He said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He knew that for him to intentionally put himself in harm's way would be tempting the Lord. A lot of Christians do that today. They intentionally put themselves in harm's way in the name of faith. No, that's not right. That's tempting the Lord. But here's what I want you to understand, though, is that Satan is a master deceiver. And sometimes when we've been deceived, our thinking is wrong, we don't even realize it. But here's the thing, the truth, God's Word can set you free. It can change the way you think if you'll receive it into your life. John 8, 31 and 32, Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you really are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, we need to know truth, and the word of God is the source of truth. He said, if you abide in my word, King James says, continue in my word. Another translation says, stay in my word. When you stay in the word of God, see, not just a little dab here and there. No, you stay in the word of God. You're going to know truth. And truth is going to set you free. We need to get our minds rewired for God. Jesus said, the great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Sometimes we go to quote that command and we just shorten it and say, love the Lord with all your heart. And we kind of think, well, that's the most important part. And maybe we just kind of skim through the rest of it, all your soul and all your mind. But let's focus on this morning. What does it mean to love the Lord with all your mind? I can tell you, first and foremost, it means that you're going to have loving thoughts toward God. It means that you're going to focus your mind upon Him and His goodness and His mercy, His blessings, His awesome power. You're going to focus your mind on Him. One man wrote these words to his son, and we don't talk this way anymore. I think maybe we should sometimes, but the sentiment is so good. He said, first of all, my child, think magnificently of God. Magnify His providence, adore His power, pray to Him frequently, incessantly, bear Him always in your mind. Teach your thoughts to reverence Him in every place, for there is no place where He is not. Therefore, my child, fear and worship and love God first and last. Think magnificently of Him. And oh, how we need to think magnificently of Him. How wonderful the Lord is. And so we love Him with our mind as we think about the Lord. Think thoughts of thanksgiving and praise and worship. You know, when you're in love with someone, your thoughts are easily drawn to them. A song, a smell, anything can cause you to think of them. You know what? Everything should remind us of the Lord. The one who paid it all, who gave it all for us. I'm telling you, everything. Whether we're walking out and seeing something in nature, or we see the blessings that God has poured in our life, our loved ones, our church family, everything ought to make us thankful and cause our thoughts to be turned to God. Everything. Even when things go wrong, we ought to think of the Lord. Just to turn to God with our need. Just to look to God and to trust Him. But we love Him with all our mind. And it's not just something we do once in a while. To love the Lord with all your mind doesn't mean your thoughts are going to be turned to the Lord once in a while. One day a week. Or when you need something. I talked to a lady one time, and she was telling me that she doesn't go to church. Her and Jesus kind of have an understanding, but she said, but I know that God is there if I need Him. And that's the way a lot of believers treat the Lord. They don't love Him. They say they do. They got the bumper sticker, but they don't love Him. I know He's there if I need Him. No. Whether I need Him in this moment or not, He's the love of my life. And I want my thoughts to be toward Him all throughout the day. Psalm 10 and 4 says this, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. Now that doesn't surprise me that the wicked don't think about God. They don't ever think about Him. They don't consider the Lord. But what's really sad is when people who are believers don't give much thought to the Lord either. Somehow the enemy has managed to get people so busy with life and so much going on in their mind that they don't really think about the Lord. I think one of the issues is all of the entertainment we have in our day and time, where we constantly have noise coming at us all the time, and it busies up our mind, and God just kind of gets pushed out of our thoughts. Not that those things are evil in and of themselves, but we no longer think about the Lord like we should. And here's what the Bible says in Jeremiah 2:32. Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Now, I've been at a lot of weddings, and I got to tell you, that bridal gown is a big deal. No bride is going to forget her attire. He says, yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Too often, believers go through a day without even thinking about the Lord. We ought to think about Him first thing in the morning, last thing before we go to sleep, and all throughout the day. We ought to be thinking about the Lord. We should never, ever have one day where we forget about Him, but we're always aware of His presence. We're always looking to Him to direct our paths. We're listening for His voice. If you're going to love Him with all your mind, I'm telling you, it has to be something that's a part of our life every day. That there, again, there's this disconnect between what a lot of believers profess and what they actually live. They're just too carnal-minded. We need to tune our minds to the Lord. How can we truly be His servants if He's not in our thoughts? How can we really do what He wants if we're not thinking about Him? You know, most people in this world, they just let their mind go wherever it goes, you know. Last week, I ended the message with 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, and it says that we are to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. We're supposed to take control of our thought life. But most people, they just kind of let their mind go wherever it wants, you know, like no big deal. And I'm saying to you this morning, Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And the first word in this verse is set. See, you take control of your mind. You set your mind on things above. It's talking about spiritual things, heavenly things, not just being earthly minded. You set your mind on the things above. Because we were created for more than earthly things. We were created for a real relationship with God. I know it may sound radical and fanatical, but when you're working, when you're working out, when you're relaxing, when you're talking to other people, you need to be thinking about the Lord. Amen. Always thinking about the Lord. I mean, some of you, I'm telling you, it would bless you while you're driving if you think about the Lord. Amen. When you're dealing with a difficult situation, your mind needs to be on the Lord. Not just when you're having your quiet time in the morning, whatever you're going through. And I'm telling you, there's such great blessing that comes when we keep our mind on God. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. See, that's what we can have in this stressful, anxious, busy, hurried world. Perfect peace. How do you get that? Your mind is fixed on the Lord. Amen. Stayed on the Lord. No matter what comes, you keep your mind on God. You know, a bill comes in that you didn't expect, and all of a sudden you feel anxious, it upsets you. I'll tell you the one that gets me, the one that I feel like wasn't fair. Injustice. Man, that riles me up. My wife's saying, yeah. She knows. I get bent out of shape with injustice. I have a hard time with that. But you know what? If I just turn my thoughts to God, my God, He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. It doesn't matter what man does. My God is so much bigger. You see, if we just get our mind on God, we can have perfect peace. No matter what's going on in our world. Perfect peace. Now, if you look at this verse in the Hebrew text of the original language, the word perfect is not there. Here's what it actually says. Shalom, shalom. That's the word for peace. It's peace, peace. But the reason that it says it twice is because it is a double portion of peace. It's not just a little. It's a double portion. If you want double peace, keep your mind on God. Because you trust Him. You keep Him in perfect peace because He trusts Him. And I just want to tell you, when you really trust God, you can keep your mind on Him. When you start getting all distracted, letting other things get you all wound up and upset, you've gotten your mind off God. You need to trust Him that He's big enough to handle, to take care of what you're going through. The word trust, Webster defines it this way. It's an assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. I like that definition because my trust is in the character of the Almighty. He is perfect in all His ways. I trust in the ability of the Almighty because He can do absolutely anything. My trust is in His truth because I know that He is a God who cannot lie. So when I put my trust in Him, I'm telling you, I can rest. And that word carries with it the connotation of rest. See, we have perfect peace. We can just rest in the Lord. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest." See, that's who our God is. This is what it is to have that close relationship with God. That we don't have to be all bent out of shape and upset and stressed and full of anxiety and sleepless nights because our God is bigger. And we get our minds and we keep our minds on Him, this relationship, this closeness we have with Him, we're going to be all right. You begin your day with the Almighty, your Heavenly Father who loves you. I'm telling you, you can face whatever comes that day with peace of mind. Whatever challenges, whatever it is that you have to do, none of it's going to be too much for God. You know, our minds are capable of so many things, but we need to remember first and foremost that we were created for God. We were created for a relationship with the Lord. They were created in such a way that we could know Him. Amen. The Bible tells us about Enoch, a man who so walked with God, he was so close to God, that one day God just took him. The Bible says he did not see death. God just took him to heaven. That's how close he was to God. We can walk with God. It tells us about a man named Abraham who was called, the scripture calls him, the friend of God. We can be a friend of God. Amen. We can have that relationship. It tells us about a man named Moses who spoke to God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And we can have a relationship with God where we talk to Him and He talks to us. We were created for this. We were created for this kind of fellowship and closeness with God. And we need to rewire our minds to think that way. We need to rewire our minds to hear the Lord. You can hear the Lord. Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus speaking, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door..." Wait a minute. If anyone hears my voice... If anyone hears my voice, He speaks. Yeah. And we can hear. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me. That's the fellowship we were designed to have with God. It is not a one-sided relationship where you do all the talking. I mean, how good is a relationship where one person does all the talking? I know some women are thinking, yeah, that's my husband. I do all the talking and he just listens. But that's not a real relationship. You know, when I think of a God that never responds, I think of the idols of the Old Testament. These people would worship a chunk of gold or a block of wood, and they would talk to it, they'd sing to it, they'd praise it, all kinds of things. But guess what? That block of wood never said a word. Our God is a living God, and he still speaks. Hebrews chapter 12 says that he speaks to us. You need to know that, yes, God speaks. Now, I know there's some people that go off the deep end, and they get all goofy and crazy, talking, saying every other word, God told me, and some of the stuff they say, you know it wasn't God. Some people get messed up. They think that what they feel must be God speaking to you. You don't go by your feelings. And some people think that, oh, something that popped in my head, that must be God. Oh, my goodness, you're headed the wrong way. No, God speaks to us most often in our spirit, that still small voice. It is an inward witness. It is a knowing. And you just need to realize that the more that you get your mind on God, you rewire that thinking, and you tune into him and you're praying, you're seeking him, the more that you're going to hear him. So often he speaks to us through his word. The Holy Spirit will just cause a verse to come to life to you, and you see, you understand truth. God is speaking to you. But throughout our day, we should listen to for his voice and expect that he would speak to us sometime. Now, I want to say this for over 1,900 years in the church, it was normal for people to say, God spoke to me. It has only been in the last 60 years that it has become socially unacceptable in the religious culture in America to say, God speaks to me. And now, if God speaks to you, you're a weirdo and a kook. But for over 1,900 years, it was normal for Christians to believe that God spoke to them. We were wired for a relationship with God where it's not all just one-sided, but our Heavenly Father also speaks to us. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, I remember and I know what it is to struggle to hear God. You're praying about a decision. I'll never forget when I was very young adult, talking to a man that I looked up to spiritually. And I kept saying, you know, I'm trying to make this decision and I don't know what I need to do. And don't know. And he kept saying to me, my sheep hear my voice. Just irritated the fire out of me. No matter what I said to him, he said, my sheep hear my voice. But he's absolutely right. We really can hear the voice of God. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you hear silence. Sometimes God's not going to tell you everything you want to know. You'll mess it up. Or it might mess you up. You're not ready for it. But I'm just telling you this, that we can hear his voice, that he does speak to us. And it's something that we ought to be believing and expecting. So often, I think part of the problem is our lives are just so busy. We have so much noise in our life. And unless we have an opportunity, unless we make the time to get away with God and have some quiet time, we're going to struggle to hear the Lord in the busyness of life. Now, the more that we have that time with the Lord, the more we'll be able to hear him, even in the midst of busy life. But Jesus himself went out to a solitary place to pray, to be alone with his Father. He didn't take his iPad, his iPhone, or anything else. It's just him and his Father. And we need some time like that, where it's just us and our Father. We're just alone with the Lord. And sit in his presence and listen for his voice. I want to close with this verse, Psalm 46 and 10. God says, be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
One translation, instead of be still, it says, cease from activity. Stop. Just stop. In all our busyness of life, we forget what the most important thing is. It is our relationship with God.
Amen.
Some of us are so driven, and I get that. I'm bent that way. But we're so driven that we end up missing the most important thing. And we just need to stop and know that He's God.
Amen.
That He's got this. I told you at the beginning that sometimes we change our mind when we get new information. But one of the fantastic things about our minds is that God created us with the ability that we are not just input and output. Listen, there's a whole lot of truth in that. You're always putting in junk, you're going to have junk in your life. And what's stored up in your heart, Jesus said, is going to come out. So there's a whole lot of truth in input and output. I'm not saying there's not, but I'm saying there's something more also. It's that we have this input. We take the word of God and we pray and we seek God. And yet, then there are things that God, in our minds, helps us. We can understand new things. Things we had no knowledge of before. And we know what to do in a situation. We had no input that tells us how to do that, except our minds figured that out. And so often in the presence of God, God shows us things and reveals things, and our minds can understand things. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll tell you, one idea from God puts you way ahead of all of your efforts. Just to be in the presence of God. Be still and know that I'm God. We were created for this. This is what we were designed for, is a real relationship with God who loves us. I want you to stand with me. I'd like for prayer partners to come.